It is well with my soul. And as we normally do, we'll have the ladies start for the first part of the chorus, and we'll have the men follow after. Again, that's song number 145. 145, It Is Well With My Soul. Sing it all together on the first. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Singing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could come here tonight to hear the preaching of your word. We thank you for all the mothers that are in this room. We could just celebrate with them and praise them for this day. And we just thank you for all the mothers in our life. And Lord, we just pray you bless us tonight together. Fill Pastor Shelley with your Holy Spirit and help us all to learn and grow from the sermon tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next is going to be song number 3. The very front of your hymnal, Jesus Paid It All. Song number 3. Song number 3, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's bonds and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen.
Good evening. Thanks so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. I really like that third verse, for nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. You know, it just destroys that good works salvation. The Bible makes it clear it's not of our works. We don't have anything to offer him. Jesus paid it all. I mean, the song couldn't get clearer. And a great song to sing. And we have here our bulletins. If you need one, if you missed one this morning, slip up your hand real quick. One of our ushers can come by, hopefully get you a bulletin. We had a present for all the mothers, and so if you missed out on getting one of these, we'd like to get you that. If for some reason your wife or mother is not with you today, and you would like to give her that, please grab one on your way out at least, or ask one of the ushers and they'll hand that to you. And we'd like to give that to all of our mothers. You say, am I a mother? If you've ever gotten pregnant, you're a mother. All right, so that's how I judge. All right. And then also on the inside, we have the service and soul winning times, as well as the church stats. On the right, we have the list of expecting ladies. Continue to pray for all of them. We also have our prayer list. Continue to pray for our church family. If you have any other prayer requests, please add that. We have two sign-up sheets right up here, one for the Austin, Texas soul winning marathon, and then one for the men's conference in August. And we definitely are getting closer to the Austin Soul Winning Marathon, so please sign up. I'm really excited about that one. We're going to make them normal, so, you know, and they need it. So, but that's the one part of Texas that we tolerate. No, I'm just kidding. And, hey, Elon Musk is making it, you know, better, right? No. We'll make it better. Okay. So we'll go out there and we'll get them saved driving their electric vehicles around, okay? And that's pretty much all I had for announcements. We'll go to our third song, Holy, Holy, Holy. That's in our separate handouts.
It's 127, I believe. Is that? Oh, it's this one.
Yeah. Sorry. 127. We changed it up. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
It's going to be 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Be song number 127. All together on the first.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus. trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen. Great singing.
This time, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. As the offering plate is being passed around, Proverbs 31, the Bible reads, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates."
Man, the title of my sermon this evening is Amazing Moms. Amazing Moms. Now, of course, when I was thinking about this sermon, I was definitely thinking about my wife and how she's an amazing mother. And I was also thinking about my own mother. And I also was just thinking about women in the Bible and some of the moms that are in the Bible and how they're just truly amazing. And I have 7 points for you this evening on 7 things that make moms amazing and or attributes of an amazing mother. And I wouldn't say that this list is replete. There's so much that we could say about moms, and we're all here because we had a mom. So, you know, it's funny to me that all the people that want abortions weren't wanting abortions for themselves. So, you know, it's interesting. We're all here because of our mother. And the Bible teaches that there's a lot of great mothers in the Bible, and there's a lot of great mothers today. And we want to praise moms for being amazing. And I want to kind of remind you of some of the things that make moms so amazing. But look at verse 1 again. The Bible says this. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. One thing that I think a lot of us take for granted is the fact that most of the things we know were taught to us by our mother. Our mother specifically has taught us so many things and so many very important skills, like being able to use the bathroom, okay? You know, things like being able to read, being able to feed ourselves, being able to clothe ourselves. I mean, in fact, the majority of things you do today, your mom taught you how to do that, and you don't even realize it. You don't remember because you were very young, but your mother taught you how to take care of yourself, how to bathe yourself, how to dress yourself, and even, you know, have some style, because I don't have any style on my own. Any style that I had was coming from my mom and now from my wife. So if I ever look good, it's them that helped me. You know, I didn't do that on purpose. And here's the reality that mothers teach their children so many things, and we should praise our mothers, and we should praise the mothers in our lives for the things that they teach us. And we should be grateful for the things that we teach us. And I really like what King Lemuel's mother taught him, because there's a lot of things you could teach your children. But notice a couple of the things that she teaches her son. It says in verse number 3, give not thy strength unto women. So, you know, she was a great preacher. She warned her son about the horrors of this world. And, you know, that's one thing that I can just honestly say that my mom was really good at. And, you know, I really loved my mom. My mom was a hard preacher, okay? So if you think that I'm a hard preacher, you can thank my mom, all right? And she would constantly warn me about whores. And she would say that there's all these whorish women that will just try to lie with you. And she thought, she would say there's all these women that try to lie with you so that you'd be trapped with them and you'd have to marry them or something like that. And she would say, don't ever date a girl that calls you first or is interested in you. He's like, you have to chase her and you have to pursue her. Otherwise, she's not worth your time. She's not worth your effort and your energy. And in fact, if a girl ever called my house asking for me, she would just hang up. I mean, just bam. And it's funny because my wife is not like this at all. My wife is not, she's a meek person. But we were in high school together. So she had to call me just for like a school reminder, because she was like in charge of one of our classes, and we had a some kind of a choir performance or something like that, and she was just in charge of calling all the different students' parents or students and letting them know. And so she called, and basically my mom was like super icy to her or whatever when she called, because she's like thinking, why is this girl calling my son or whatever? But my mom was keen. She was very smart. She understood this. I remember a couple whores tried to, like, come and date my brother, and she basically was just like, get out of here, you know, showing up at the doorstep. And you know what? That's something to praise a mother for, is one that'll warn about the horrors of this world. It's hard to find women today that will teach their sons not to go after whores, but you know what? That is a job duty of mothers, and you know what? That makes an amazing mom.
Yeah.
Who will teach and train her sons. You know what? Don't have anything to do with that girl. She's a whore.
Right.
She's a harlot. You don't want to go and date that. And also, we have in this passage, it says in verse 4, "And it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." So here's another thing. She warned her son about alcohol. So you know what? An amazing mom is teaching her children, and she's specifically teaching them about the whores of this world and about the alcohol of this world. And let me tell you something. Those are two of the biggest issues, regardless of time. Like, it doesn't matter that it's 2022 America and that the book of Proverbs is literally thousands and thousands of years ago. If you were going to say, what are two of the biggest things that a mom can warn her children of, and specifically her son, it's whores and alcohol. And typically, they go together. Typically, you find the whores where you find the alcohol. And if you go and find the alcohol, then you find the whore. It's just like one after the other. And so it's great when moms are teaching their sons and teaching their children, stay away from these dangers. Stay away from these things that are going to hurt you and going to harm you. And you know what? We should be grateful that we have parents that warned us from these things. There's another thing that my mom would teach me, and it's not necessarily in this passage, but it's just something that came to my mind, just because it's something my mom would always say. And if you ever sagged your pants in any form or fashion, she would rip you a new one, she would grab you, and she would say, "Pull those pants up, put a belt on. You don't want to advertise that you're open for business like the fags do." And I'd be like, "Yeah, that's right." And you know what? I pulled my pants up like a man. Okay, and you know what? We need some mothers today to tell their sons to dress like a man today, and to tell them to stay away from the whores of this world, and to tell them to, you know, stay away from the alcohol. And you know what? That's what makes an amazing mother, is one that teaches her children.
Amen.
Not one that's just passive, not one that's just letting her children do whatever they want, but warning them of these problems. Now, of course, for a mother to teach this, she has herself to not be a whore and not be given alcohol. Otherwise, it's going to not really, she's going to be a hypocrite. And that's why a lot of women today probably aren't teaching their sons, because they're drinking wine with dinner, and they are a whore themselves, so they don't warn about the whorish woman, because they'd have to warn about themselves. So you know what? The godly woman is going to be a lot easier for her to teach her children. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So point one is this: an amazing mom teaches her children. And moms that are teaching their children today deserve a lot of praise, because most moms are just letting the world teach their children. They're passing off their children to don't care. They're passing off their children to someone else, even another family member, grandma. Passing off their children to someone that's not even their family member, some tranny that's like their kindergarten teacher or whatever. I mean, it's sick what people are letting teach their children and train their children. You know, praise the Lord that there's still women that want to teach their children. You know what? That's the job of a mother, and that's what makes an amazing mom, is one that's going to take the time to teach their children, not look at them as some kind of a burden. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 says in verse number 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, and he's reminded of something. "The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Here's another thing that makes an amazing mom, is one that is a truthful mom, is a truthful mom. And we see here that Lois and Eunice had what Paul describes as unfeigned faith. Now, the word feign means fake or insincere, okay? Not truthful. Whereas an unfeigned would mean what? Sincere, truthful, honest. And so what's really a great character attribute is a woman that sincerely and truthfully has faith towards the Lord. You know, she's not just going to church because she has to. She's not going to church because she's drugged there by her husband. She's not going to church because that's just what you do, or to see your friends, or just to meet a husband. I don't know what reasons women come to church, but the reason why Lois and Eunice are coming to church is because they love God. Is they have a true faith. They're a truthful person. And you know what? That sincerity rubs off on the children. When you're not really sincere about the things of God, when you don't have a truthful faith, often your children, it's going to be hard for them to want to take the things of God seriously or to make it sincere for them or to be a truthful person because they just watch their parents live a lie, literally. You know, a lot of people get frustrated with false religion, but it's because their parents are going through the motions. They're not sincere even with their own faith. They're not even truthful with their own faith. It's just some kind of a ritual, some kind of a tradition, some kind of a practice that they go through. Well, we just go to church. But then she doesn't actually sincerely believe in it, isn't truthful. You know what? That is going to be seen and noticed by the children. And what makes an amazing mom is one that's truthful. One that's sincere about the things that she's doing. She thinks about the things that she does in her life, and she does them with sincerity and in truth, not just going through some kind of emotion, not just phoning it in, not, well, I have a Bible on my lap, but I don't actually open it. Or I show up at church, but I don't even have a Bible. I've never looked at the Bible. I couldn't tell you any of the books of the Bible. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about my mom is my mom read the Bible every day. And the reason I know that is because I saw it. Now, she wasn't like a braggart or anything like that. My mom is actually one of the most meekest people I've ever met, very humble, very lowly. But she truthfully loved the Bible. And look, when you looked at my mom's Bible, it looked like it had been read a million times. And notes all over it. She had read all of the Bible so many times. I don't even know how many times she read the Bible. She would read it for hours. My mom would just sit down and just read the Bible. And she made time for the Bible. She was very sincere. Now, I think my mom might have been wrong about some things, but I'll tell you what, she was at least sincere. And she was very truthful to her religion. And you know what? That is going to shine through with the children when your parents are sincere about it. And they're honest about it. You know, my mom was the type of person that she would pretty much only listen to Christian music. I mean, she would watch TV preachers, okay? I'll admit that. But here's the thing. She just always wanted to be spiritual. She just always wanted to just hear the word of God being preached. She always wanted to be in church. Every extra event at church, she always wanted to be there. She always wanted to be early. She was always paying attention. Sometimes my dad would be sleeping in church, but my mom was never sleeping in church. My mom loved church. My mom sold her wedding ring to give to church. She loved church. She was very sincere, and she was very truthful. She was one of the most honest people when it came to religion. And you know what? That's a great attribute. You know, I love that about my wife, too. I love that. You know, because I have this, like, pastor's test thing that I wrote. And I'll give it out to guys that want to, you know, be a pastor or whatever. And I just got to get a feel. And it's sad to me when my wife destroys these men that want to be a pastor on the pastor's test. You know, and my wife, she knows the Bible. And she could tell you every book of the Bible. Even if she has to sing it, at least she knows it. And she's very sincere about it. And she's not just, you know, oh, I just want the praise of being a pastor's wife. There's no real praise anyways. She just loves God. You know, she's been in church her whole life. And that's what makes a woman amazing is one that loves God. Not just showing up, not just checking some box, not just saying I'm a Christian, but actually loving God. Being sincere, being truthful, being someone that reads the Bible. You know, it's not just for me to read the Bible. I want my wife to read the Bible. Because remember what was point one? She teaches her children. I want the person teaching my children to know the Bible backwards and forwards and to know every square inch of that and to be able to teach them about those whores, remember, and the alcohol. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy. Just flip backwards like a page. So point one is that an amazing mom teaches her children. Point two is that she's a truthful person, that she's truthful about her religion, sincere faith, truthful faith. Point three, 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 10. It says, well reported of for good works. It's talking about a widow. If she had brought up children. Now, I'm not taking necessarily all these verses and explain all the context, But a widow is praised, or supposed to be actually paid for by the church, if she's done a lot of these really great things. One of them being mentioned is bringing up children. Let me tell you something. A woman who brings up children, a woman who trains children, is an amazing mom. A lot of women are pushing that off on other people. Women will give their children to someone else literally, or abandon their child. Or if they can, they'll ship them off to school, to some kind of a daycare. As soon as they can get rid of them, they'll get rid of them. They push them off to the babysitter. They just don't train their children. They're not bringing them up. And it's not enough to just exist around them their whole lives. No, someone that's actually training them, someone that's actually bringing them up. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you train your child by saying, I always pass children off to other people, well, guess what that child's going to do when it gets raised? Pass its children off to other people. And it's this vicious cycle. But if a woman is the one that's training her children, bringing up her children, that is an amazing mom. Because let me tell you something, training children is hard. It's a very difficult task. It's often a very unthankworthy task because children are selfish. Children do not know how to be appreciative of all the blessings that their mom is giving them. And so it's a very thankless job, but it's one that we as men should be aware of, and we should praise our wives for training their children and bringing up the children and doing all this work for the children. You know, it's not enough to just say, hey, I celebrate Mother's Day. It should be Mother's Year.
Yeah. Right.
We should, you know, be praising our women who are training up their children and bringing up their children every single day. And it's not enough for you to call your mom on Mother's Day. You should call your mom every day.
Amen.
You know, I could ask people, I say, hey, did you call your mom today? And to some of you, it might seem kind of like a begrudging task a little bit, like, oh, yeah, I got to call my mom. But you know what? I would give anything to be able to call my mom today. And I can't. So you don't take it for granted that you can't call your mom. You call your mom and you appreciate her because she brought you up. She trained you. She taught you. You know, and if she had a truthful religion, I mean, this is an amazing mom. You need to tell her. And not just today, lots of days, many days. You should love your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother is what the Bible says. And, you know, no mom's perfect. Think about it. We came from Eve. It already started with some flaws, right? But you know what? She's still worthy of praise. She's still bringing up children, okay? And we should honor them. Go to Mark chapter 7. Go to Mark chapter number 7. Amazing moms. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing mothers in this room, I believe. And they deserve a lot of praise. So I see them teaching their children. A lot of women in here, you can tell they have a very truthful faith. And you can tell they're not just teaching, they're training them. And here's my fourth point, is an amazing mom is one who's tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Now look at Mark chapter 7 and look at verse 25. Here's a mom that definitely has probably some serious issues. But one thing you like about this lady, she's very tender-hearted. Verse number 25, the Bible says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Now, I've heard some reprobate ask me, he said, hey, when did Jesus ever call someone a dog? And then I, like, quoted this verse, and they're like, oh, I knew you would twist that out of context. And I'm like, well, how did I twist it? He called someone a dog, literally. He even says in Matthew 7, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, okay? But think about this. This is God in flesh looking at you and calling you a dog. You know what I like about this woman? She can take some hard preaching. Because what would most women do? Who are you to call me a dog? And I'm going to go, yip, 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 yip. And it's like, you are a dog, okay? Sound like one too. But Jesus, God, literally looks at this woman, calls her a dog. What does she say? And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Think about that. Hey, You're a dog. I know. You're right. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. You know why she's taking such a lashing? She's taking all this hard preaching? Because she has a tender heart towards her daughter.
And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter.
Because she had a tender heart, because she would rather find out the truth about herself, because she would rather hear what God actually has to say, because she would rather get rebuked by Jesus to the face, if it will, what? Bless her daughter. Help her daughter. Give her daughter life.
And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon her bed.
She loves her daughter enough to find out the truth. She loves her daughter enough to hear the hard preaching. And you know what? We need women today that have a tender heart towards other people. They care more about other people than themselves. Most women of this world only really care about themselves. In fact, the most important thing to them is their self-image. Think about it. Most women, what is it that they spend so much time and effort and energy on is their looks. You know, their hair, their outfit. And the worst thing to them would be to be publicly embarrassed or publicly shamed. But this woman has decided to completely humble herself, lower herself, debase herself, be called a dog in front of everyone, agree and call herself a dog, all for what? Her child. Talk about a tender-hearted woman. Talk about one that cares more about her children than herself. You know,
it makes me think of my mom too, because I could tell my mom, she didn't really care about her image.
She was not this woman that cared so much about her clothing or her hair. Now, my mom would dress very nice and she looked presentable and she thought that that was important, but you could tell it was not the most important thing to her whatsoever. And you know, that makes her amazing, because I know that my mom would rather be publicly embarrassed and shamed if I would be better off than to basically look good and her children to be neglected in any kind of way.
And it makes me think of my wife, and
it makes me think of women in this room who literally their wardrobe is based on breastfeeding rather than looking as attractive as humanly possible. Because honestly, there's plenty of outfits and dresses that my wife is like, man, this is such a pretty dress, or I would love to wear this, but I can't breastfeed in that, and that would be a detriment to my child. So she picks outfits on purpose. What? So that she can accommodate the child over herself. You know, or my wife likes big hoop earrings. You don't want to wear those if you have a toddler in your lap. You'll think twice. They grab that and pull. It's just like, ugh, yikes, it hurts. You know, and women who decide that they're going to dress accommodating to their children have a tender heart as opposed to caring more about themselves. And look, that's one way. There is a multitude of ways that women will essentially debase themselves, lower themselves. How about just getting pregnant? I know plenty of women that stopped having children because they don't want to get pregnant again. They want to be super thin and what they consider super attractive. You know what that is? It's being selfish. And it's not having a tender heart. A tender-hearted woman is one who will say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to my body or happens to me or happens to what people think about me. I care about my children over that. I'm more concerned with my children. I have a more tender of a heart towards them than I do myself. Amen. You know, having compassion and being moved by another's distress is what tender-hearted means. She's moved by she's inconveniencing herself greatly to go all this travel, all this way, find Jesus Christ, get rebuked, and still take it. All for what? Just so her child isn't hurt and harmed by the devil, by this possession.
And, you know, you could sit here and say, oh, well, this woman probably deserved it, or she was a sinner.
Okay, we're all sinners. And you know what? No one deserves this. This is a horrible thing to happen where your child's being possessed by a devil. But notice, she didn't just give up on it or not care. No, she was so hurt by it that she was willing to seek any remedy no matter what it would do to her. And, you know, it's funny because when we look at this woman, you would think in the media, like, oh, what an embarrassing thing. Right? I mean, it would be pretty embarrassing for Jesus Christ to literally call you a dog in front of everybody. You have to admit that's pretty embarrassing. But you know what? When we read this story, we don't find her embarrassing. We find her amazing. What an amazing mother. You know what's embarrassing is all the mothers that were still back with the Syrophoenicians, still back in wherever, in the Gentiles, and their children are possessed with devils, and they didn't care. They didn't want to travel over here. They didn't want to hear the hard preaching. They didn't want to humble themselves. They didn't want to lower themselves. And you know what? You go in certain circles of your friends, certain circles of your family, your wife might be embarrassed in front of them for having lots of kids. They're thinking like, oh, man, you could have another one. It's like the first child, everybody's excited for you. The second child, that's great. Are you going to stop now? The third child, they're like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty ambitious. You know, you're definitely done by now, huh? Four, it's like, what's happening? It's like, did you do that on purpose? Was that an accident? Five, they're like, when you start saying like you're pregnant again and it's number four or five, they stop with the immediate congratulations. They're like, oh, five. Is it five? How many do you have? Do you have a bus yet? Are you driving that bus yet or whatever? It's like, that's rude.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? Praise the Lord that I have a wife that is not embarrassed to have that. She doesn't think that that's embarrassing. She thinks it's wonderful.
Go over to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter 4.
Quit worrying what the world thinks, because what the world thinks is stupid anyways.
Right.
And quit worrying about if the world thinks that you're cool and hip and whatever, because they honor the worst people.
Yeah.
And the worst filth. You know, the people that the Bible honors are the truly amazing people. And we've noticed that an amazing mom teaches, she's truthful, she trains, she's tenderhearted. And here's a hard one, but it's a good one. An amazing mom is one who trusts the Lord. Who trusts the Lord, which sounds easy. But in the example that I'm going to bring up, it's not trusting the Lord in the easy things. It's trusting the Lord in tragedy. Trusting the Lord in difficulty. Trusting the Lord when the chips are down. And that's what makes an amazing mother. But look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. We're going to read a portion from this chapter. It says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Notice how the Bible describes this woman. A great woman. Now it says, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, the thing you have to understand about this woman, she's considered great, and she's never had a child yet. She's completely been barren. She's older, but the Bible says she's a great woman. It says in verse number 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn him thither. So here's another thing. This woman's a great woman because not only she lodged strangers, she's very thoughtful about it, and she lodges this man of God. Notice she's very sincere in her faith. She's very truthful in her faith, and she wants the man of God to have a light at night so he can read the Bible, so he can study the Word of God. She's not just housing this guy for some kind of a selfish ambition or to just see what she can get out of it. She sincerely cares about this man of God and wants him to be taken care of. She's providing for his needs. She's like, let's get him a candlestick. Whatever this guy needs, let's help him serve God. Notice the woman is taking initiative to help the man of God. And you know what? Men of God are not just helped by the men of this world. They're also helped by the women. Think about the Apostle Paul. He's constantly praising women that helped him out. Women that did great works. And we could name all kinds of women in the Bible that were great women. Phoebe is a great woman who was a servant. And in fact, Paul's like, you guys need to help her. You need to follow her lead. She's doing such a good job. She's been a succorer of many, meaning a helper. Now, it says in verse number 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. So notice that the man of God is recognizing, why is this woman such a great woman? Because she cares for others and not herself. She's been so careful for them. And he's saying to his servant, like, we need to get something for this lady. And he's basically like, what do you want? Imagine a really powerful person just coming in, just saying, you know, woman, what do you want? Lady, what would you like? How about, you know, let's elevate you. Let's make you the president. You know, let's make you the top lady. Let's put you in some great house. Let's move you out and put you in some fancy location. And what does she say? I dwell among mine own people. Humble. She's like, I don't need the fancy things of this life. I don't care about some accolade. I wasn't helping you for you to scratch my back. I don't need money. I don't need fame. I don't need the fancy things of life. I'm just a servant. Amen. What a wonderful woman. What an amazing woman is this one that's just a servant. And, you know, whenever someone asks you for something, it tells you very clearly what's in their heart. You know, like when you ask Solomon, he's not asking for women and gold and all the other stuff. He asks for what? Wisdom. And for this woman, she's asking for nothing. What do you want? Nothing. That's really humble. I mean, I guarantee most women, if you said, do you want anything? They'd be like, here's your list. how many papers can I give you, you know? How many items can I show you? You know, this woman's saying like, I don't want anything. That's pretty incredible. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. So they're bringing up. They're like, well, I think we should help her with a child. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She actually really wanted a child, but she didn't want to say it. And then when he says it, it's too terrifying for her to not get it, that she's just like, don't lie to me. Like, you don't even know how I wanted this child. But, you know, she's just kind of scared that it's not going to happen. And it says in verse number 17, it says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So she has the child. And it was older in life. It says, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So this woman, she wants nothing. She's not a selfish person. But inside, obviously, the desires of her heart, she wanted a child. She finally got this child. It was a huge blessing to her. And even just to the point of death, I mean, she loves this child so much, she literally holds it on her knees until it dies. Because she just loves it so much. And this is a great tragedy. I mean, think about it. You haven't had a child for forever. You finally get one. And then just a complete freak accident, it dies. And it's not like from negligence. She's a very careful woman. She's a very caring woman. She's even holding it. She's doing everything she can. But you know what? Sometimes it just happens. It dies. And it says in verse number 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called on her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Notice, she thinks there's still a chance. And what's she going to do? She's going to run. She is going to run. Verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. So she's not even supposed to be doing this. But she's going to do it anyways. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She's running around. She's going and inconveniencing herself. And she's saying, hey, we're going to get there as fast as humanly possible, and I don't care if it hurts me. Because he's saying, don't go slow for my sake. Why? Because women are the weaker vessel. They may not be able to handle the carriage ride or the horseback the same as a man. But she doesn't care. Even if it hurts her, she's going to go as fast as she can to the man of God. She's like, even whatever danger that's putting her life in, she's willing to go to see if there's any chance that this child can live. And it says, so she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. She could tell Gehazi's a bozo. She didn't want to tell him. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. So Elisha sends his servant Gehazi to try and perform a miracle to rescue this child by putting the staff on him. She's saying, I didn't even ask this child. You've deceived me. But here's the thing. We know that she hasn't stopped trusting the Lord because she wouldn't have gone through all of this if she didn't believe that the Lord was faithful. Yeah. She's still trusting that the Lord is going to deliver her this son. She's like, God gave me this son. This isn't some kind of a trick because I didn't even ask this. So she goes to the man of God, and it says in verse number 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he rose and followed her. So she's saying like, hey, I'm attached to you until you fix this. I mean, this is some commitment, right? Now it says in verse 31, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. Because when you're a bozo, nothing works, okay? And just because you're the servant of the man of God doesn't make you special. You have to be a man of God yourself. You actually have to have faith yourself. And you know what? The fakes and the imposters can never do anything. You know, the fakes and the imposters, they're basically duds, as it were, okay? And also this tells me that even men of God can hire a dud, apparently, okay? Yeah. Verse 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, hand upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. So we have here very clearly a story of this woman's trusting the Lord. She never stopped trusting the Lord, and notice, in the end, it worked out. But what I like about an amazing mom is one who trusts the Lord even in tragedy. She trusts the Lord even in tragedy. You know, it kind of goes to the point of a truthful faith is one that says, you know what, I trust God no matter what happens to me. And let me tell you something. There is going to be difficult times in your life. There's going to be tragedy. There's going to be hard times. But you know what? An amazing mom says, I still trust the Lord. Right. I still trust the Lord. You know, a mom that struggled with this was Job's wife. She struggled with this. You know, it would have been better if she hadn't told Job to curse God and die, but said, hey, maybe I can have another 10 children. I'm sure that sounded scary to her. Can you imagine having given birth 20 times? Oh, man. Although I think it gets easier. All right, I'm just saying that. But
it's still difficult, all right? It's still hard. Now, what does this mean? I'm going to take a moment and just give you some thoughts, because this is a really weird story. It's like you got this child who dies, Gehazi lays the staff, it doesn't work, he sneezes 7 times, I don't know. Well, obviously, it's going to foreshadow the Lord Jesus Christ in some ways, because, think about it, you have this miracle child, basically. And you kind of have this theme throughout the Bible, where you always have these like miracle children that are given. But then what happens to the miracle children is some kind of tragedy or sacrifice. I mean, think about Isaac. Isaac is kind of like this picture of a miracle child, but then he's going to be sacrificed. But worked out in the end, didn't it? Okay, and you kind of have this constant thing. So she gets this miracle child, basically. And what I like about this is, think about it. She's still convinced after the child's dead that there's still hope. Which is what? Pictures of the gospel, right? That even though Christ is dead, we still have hope. And we knew that he was going to rise again from the Old Testament pictures. And we know he rose again because it's just a fact of history and the Bible.
So we kind of have those pictures. Why do we have the sneezing and all this other stuff? Well, I don't know why the sneezing. If you can figure out the sneezing, you can tell me. But it is 7 times. And the Bible typically has 7 and is just kind of a correlation of just a divine act. Because 7 is just a number that's in the Bible just so many times. I mean, we have Naaman the Syrian dipping in the Jordan 7 times.
We have the 7 days of creation. We have the 7 golden candlesticks. We have the 7 churches. We have the 7 stars. We have the 7 spirits of God. We have the 7 seals. We have the 7 horns. We have the 7 eyes. We have the 7 trumpets. We have the 7 thunders. We have the 7 vials. I mean, 7 is a lot of times in the Bible, right?
But think about miracles. We have the 7 loaves. We have the 7 dipping. We have the 7 sneezing. So I think the goal here is just to kind of prove, like, this is a miracle. And when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection, when it comes to the gospel, it's a miracle. But we also have him kind of like laying on the child, kind of like mouth to mouth, you know, kind of just stretched up on him. I just kind of envision this, and you know, that's what kind of warms him up. I just kind of envision this as he's kind of like laying on him, and he's giving him life. It's kind of like with Jesus Christ. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And Christ has to come on us and give us his life. It's like that imputed righteousness. He's giving us his life so that we can have life. And if you think about the train of events, the first attempt is what? The stake, the stick. Which is kind of, in my mind, picturing what? The cross, the death. And then the first time he goes up, nothing. So it's like the second. But then the third time, he comes back. So it's kind of like the 3 days of the gospel. You kind of have the cross, then you have a day it didn't work, then he goes back, and then he comes back to life. So you kind of have a gospel picture there. Pretty cool what the Bible has to say here. Go, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I just have 2 more quick points that I want to make this evening, but that would have never happened if it wasn't for a mom. And you have to think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ had a mother who was given a miracle child. And think about this. The child in our story died on her knees. But the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in front of his own mother. You don't think that that hurts a mom's heart to watch her own son die before her eyes? Especially crucifixion. I mean, that has got to be one of the just most painful things that could happen to a mother's heart. But you know what? She was there anyways. Tough as nails. Why? Because she trusts in the Lord. And Jesus is a miracle child that was going to have to die, but he came back. Just like her son came back, Mary, her son came back, the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? And so it was just a short time of mourning, a short, difficult time that the Lord was going to put her through. And you know, when you think about it, some people are like, well, why would the Lord do that? But in hindsight, it doesn't even matter. In fact, it's great. Like, if your son died, that would be horrible. But if it came back 3 days later, it'd be like, okay. You know? So it wasn't a horrible thing in hindsight. It's only in the moment. And sometimes God will put you through really difficult things that in hindsight you'll realize, oh, wow, God still blessed me out of that. God still gave me a miracle out of that. God still, you know, gave me more character out of that. Or God was able to use that. And we learn from the scriptures that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So we just trust the Lord, period. Whatever happens, even in tragedy. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with linen and ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Here's another thing about an amazing mom is when she's thoughtful. You know, she gave her son to serve the Lord, but she wasn't just done. She's like, you know what? He's going to get cold. I'm going to make him a coat. And you know what? He's a grown boy, so I'm going to make him a new coat every single year. Because she's a thoughtful mother. She's thinking about other people than herself. Not just what am I going to wear to the daily sacrifice or the yearly sacrifice. You know, how am I going to look? She's concerned about her son's needs. She's concerned about others. Go to Matthew 20. And we need women to be thoughtful of their children's lives and lay down their own. You know, at some point as a parent, you have to realize, like, your glory days are going to start getting behind you. And it's good to just put your children's, you know, in the forefront and say, I care more about my children's lives than my own and them succeeding and them doing good. You know, I've had my chance. And maybe my life is just to basically be a stepping stone for my children. That's a very humble approach. You know, you say, you know, instead of being a woman pastor, why don't you raise a child that might become a pastor? And do it God's way.
Yeah.
Instead of being Joyce Meyer and keep having to get Botox so you look like the Joker more and more every year. I mean, pretty soon the smile's going to be like up to here. I mean, they just keep injecting. It's just like, you know. It doesn't, if you're always smiling, there's something off. That's why you shouldn't get the Botox and everything. They get this plastic surgery. And you can tell the women that have gotten the plastic surgery because they're always smiling. And it's almost like RBF might be better. You know, I don't know. Always smiling is weird. Okay. Just like Joyce Meyer. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. Now, here's the thing. She's coming to Jesus. She could ask anything that she wants. What is she concerned with more than anything? Her sons. She wants good for her sons. Now, obviously, she's a little misguided because she doesn't necessarily understand it. And Jesus kind of explains to her, like, I don't think you understand what you're asking. Maybe you do, but he says that she doesn't. But notice that she cares about the future of her children, not her future. That's an amazing mother, is one that's more concerned with her children's future than her own. What about my career? Well, what about your son's career? You know, by you having a career, it might be a detriment to your son's careers. It may cause problems for your children and your sons and your daughters. But by laying down your life and basically serving your children, being thoughtful of your children, you know, that's going to make you an amazing mom.
Amen. Go over to Judges 7. It's the last place I'm going to return this evening. I'll give you a quick recap. Number one, an amazing mom teaches her children. Number two, she has a truthful religion. Number three, she trains her children. Number four, she's tenderhearted. Number five, she trusts the Lord. Number six, she's thoughtful. And my seventh point, so we've got to have sevens, right? Is that she's temperate. She's temperate. And look at Judges chapter 7 and look at, I'm sorry, I meant chapter 13. That was my seventh point, not Judges chapter 7. Judges 13 is where I want to go. Seventh point, Judges 13, look at verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So the angel of the Lord comes unto Manoah's wife, and this is going to be for the birth of Samson, a great man of God.
But in order for him to be the great man of God that he's going to be, his mom has to basically take a portion of the Nazirite vow and apply it to herself while she's pregnant. Meaning what? She has to have her own level of temperance, her own level of sacrifice, her own level of moderation for her children's benefit. And, you know, a lot of ladies do this, you know, especially when they're pregnant. They may eat or drink a certain way. Why? Just for the betterment of their child.
Yeah.
Or do certain behaviors that may not be as comfortable, may not be as fun, or they may have to be restricted from certain activities, like wrestling a bunch of dudes, you know. Morning sermon, check that one out. Obviously, you don't want to do these type of things. You know, and as a mother, amazing moms will often sacrifice for their children's betterment, for their sake. They'll be temperate in certain activities, certain things, just for their children's future, for their well-being. You know, by you restraining yourself from certain things in the world, it's going to help your children. By staying away from certain things, by not going around certain things, not going around strong drink, saying, hey, I don't care that the family reunion is something I want to go to. If they're going to be boozing it up or whatever, I might just be temperate. I may stay away from that for my children's sake, to protect my children from that event, to protect my children from the evils of this world. You know, not just teach them to stay away from alcohol, doing it. You know, it's one thing to be like, hey, don't drink, and then drink. That's wicked. Or to tell them not to drink, but then go and hang around with people that drink. And I remember I've had to have tough conversations with people and say, look, I'm not going to be around y'all when y'all are drinking, or I can't even hang out with you until you stop drinking. And I remember one time one person told me, they said, well, your kids are going to think that we're like sinners or bad people because we drink. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, that's not fair. And it's like, you don't have to drink. But you know what? I don't want my children to look at, you know, cousin so-and-so, aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, brother so-and-so, grandpa so-and-so, grandma so-and-so, and look to them as their great role model. Well, they drink and they're the greatest. Or they're, you know, committing these wicked sins or doing these evil things, but no problem. No, they should realize that's a bad sin. Now, I'm not going to go around and shame people and try to make them feel bad on purpose. That's not my goal in life. But you know what? Sometimes we have to say no to things. We have to have temperance in our lives for the betterment of our children or the betterment of other people. And you know what? God bless moms that have temperance in their lives, that are willing to say no or put themselves in an uncomfortable position, sacrifice on their own. For what? Just for their children's sake. And say, hey, my children are more important to me than you guys are. In every way. In every category. And you know what? There's a lot of amazing moms in the Bible, but I think there's also a lot of amazing moms in this room. And I hope that the men in this room will pay attention to a sermon like this and say, you know what? I need to praise my wife. I need to praise my mother more for the things that she's doing, and realize how amazing she truly is, and not just do it once a year. You should do it at minimum once a year. You should do it a lot more than that. And to tell her she's special and to treat her well. And we need to raise sons and daughters that are going to live a biblical example, not what this world is pumping out. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the amazing moms that you've given us. Thank you that the Bible teaches the way that we should live our lives, so that ladies can understand the importance of being a mom and the great job and the great responsibility they have. And I pray that you would encourage women to make the sacrifices necessary to be an amazing mom, because there's not a greater calling in their life, if they have children, than to be a blessing unto those children and to be a servant. And I pray that they would realize that while they may never get the recognition they truly deserve, that you up in heaven are looking down with pleasure, that you will reward them according to their faith. And I pray that we'd raise a generation of women that actually love the Lord and trust the Lord in every area of their life. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, with that, let's go ahead and open up our hymnals. Let's sing one more song before we head home. You'll turn to 217. He included me. Great song reminding us that God included everybody for salvation. It's not just for the Calvinists. It's for everybody.
Right.
217. 217. Let's sing it all together on the first. I am so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Gladly I read whosoever may come to the fountain of life today. But when I read it, I always say, Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Ever God's Spirit is saying, come, hear the bride saying, no longer roam. But I am sure while they're calling home, Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Freely come drink words the soul to thrill. Oh, with what joy they my heart to fill. For when he said whosoever will, Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said whosoever, he included me. Amen. Great singing. Thank you all for coming. God bless. You are dismissed.